Let's read together Psalms 122 and 123. Here we have two further psalms or songs of ascents. Psalm 122 is a psalm of David concerning the peace and significant position of Jerusalem. And Psalm 123 is a psalm of confidence in the Lord's grace and mercy for those who look to him. Let's begin by reading Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Let's begin our study of these psalms with some background notes. You know, I love to read Psalm 122 on our Holy Land tours as we journey up to Jerusalem. Even though we are on a modern tour bus, there is still that same wonderful anticipation the ancient pilgrims must have experienced as they made their way up to Jerusalem to celebrate the required annual feasts and to worship the Lord at his holy temple. Sense that excitement as you read verses 1 through 4 once again. We see that David is the author of this psalm, and it may be that David wrote this psalm soon after he brought the ark up to Jerusalem, the new capital of the nation, verse 5. The city where the house of the Lord would now be located. Now, the idea in verse 3 that Jerusalem is a city that is compact together is not only the idea that the houses were built close together, as they still are today, but also that this capital city brought the people together when it lived up to its name, City of Peace. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 122. The city of Jerusalem is still central to God's program. The city of Jerusalem is still central to God's program. Question, is Psalm 122, with its emphasis on Jerusalem, still valid today? Or was it just for Old Testament days, when David chose Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel? Answer, the city of Jerusalem is still central to God's program. We know from the prophetic scriptures that the Lord is going to return to this earth and defeat all nations gathered together against Israel and establish a worldwide kingdom of peace and reign as king for 1,000 years, his millennial kingdom. Now, to what part of the earth is he going to return? Answer, the Mount of Olives, which is part of Jerusalem. I'm reading from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the days of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. And what city on earth will become the capital of our Lord's kingdom? Answer, you guessed it, Jerusalem. Again, Zechariah chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. The people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. From Zechariah chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. And we know from the prophecies of Ezekiel and other prophetic scriptures that in that day there will be a temple to the Lord in Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48 give the details of this future temple with its associated worship and the layout of the city of Jerusalem and the surrounding area at that time. And then in Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, we read, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. from Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Branch here, the name Branch is obviously a messianic title for the Lord as a descendant of David. So we see then that Psalm 122 has prophetic implications. There's coming a day when folks will still go up to Jerusalem to worship at the house of the Lord during his kingdom of peace on this earth. The city of Jerusalem is still central to God's program. And now, practical application for Psalm 122. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. We know from the prophetic scriptures that a lasting peace will not come to Jerusalem until the Lord returns. In fact, in Zechariah chapter 14, that great prophetic chapter of scripture, which we've already referred to in this talk, we read that all nations will be gathered together against Jerusalem before the Lord returns. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2. But we should still pray for the peace and prosperity of Jerusalem, because when we do, we are praying in line with God's ultimate plans for Jerusalem. The house of the Lord will be there, verse 9. And look again at verse 8. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace within you. We should pray for the peace of Jerusalem because of our fellow believers who are there. There are both Jewish and Arab believers in Jerusalem today, as well as throughout Israel. We should pray for their protection and well-being. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's continue reading Psalm 123. We mentioned that this is a psalm of confidence in the Lord's grace and mercy. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 123. We see in this psalm that the psalmist is looking with trust to the Lord for deliverance from those who are mocking God's people. Now, this could have been written when the Jewish people were captives in Babylon, but another possible occasion is that if this psalm was written by King Hezekiah, as suggested in an earlier talk, then it could have been at the time of Assyria's attack on Jerusalem by Sennacherib. Remember how Rabshakeh, Sennacherib's spokesman, taunted and mocked the Jews during the Assyrian siege of Jerusalem. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 23. Rabshakeh speaking here on behalf of Sennacherib. Now, therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to put riders on them. And verse 27, but the Rabshakeh said to them, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall who will eat and drink their own waste with you? Little mockery and taunting going on there, isn't it? Now notice how verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 123 easily fit this possible scenario. Verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 123 once again. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. Now, do you remember what King Hezekiah did on that occasion when threatened with Sennacherib's taunts and mockery? With the godly counsel of Isaiah, Hezekiah turned the matter over to the Lord and waited for the Lord to answer. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 15. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. From 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 through 19. So Hezekiah looked to the God of all grace for deliverance. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 123. God gives grace to help in time of need. God gives grace to help in time of need. Our doctrinal point comes right from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 4:16. Now, if King Hezekiah wrote this psalm, he certainly followed this exhortation, didn't he? As verse 2 of Psalm 123 says, "He humbly looked to the hand of the Lord as a servant looks to his master, or as a maid to her mistress." And notice his confident trust that the Lord will answer. The end of verse 2. "So our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us." Did the Lord in his grace answer King Hezekiah? Take a guess. God in his grace answered Hezekiah with one of the great miracles of the Old Testament. I'm reading 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. "And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead." 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. God gives grace to help in time of need. Now let me ask you a question. Will the Lord answer us in our time of need? Of course he will. The Lord in his grace will deliver us from or through any situation we will possibly face now or in the future if we look to him with confident trust. God gives grace to help in time of need. And now for our practical application for Psalm 123. Expect deliverance from the mockery of unbelievers. Expect deliverance from the mockery of unbelievers. You know, mockery is a form of persecution of the believer, as we see from this psalm. As believers seeking to be committed to the Lord and the Christian faith, we can expect to be persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3:12. So don't be surprised if you experience being made fun of and taunted and mocked for being a Christian. Expect it. But here's the good news. Expect deliverance from the mockery of unbelievers. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 assures us that the Lord will repay those who persecute believers. And that includes mockers. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." Romans 12:19. So Psalm 123 should encourage us to turn to the Lord and pray when we are mocked for our faith. Expect deliverance from the mockery of unbelievers.